World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
I'm still standing better than I ever did. Looking like a true survivor. Looking like a little kid. I'm still alive. Quite a weekend we had here in Coach Dave live territory. Yeah, I'm tired. My wife's tired. Everybody's tired. And we're going to kind of give you an overview. Before. Hey, look, I got a lot going on. I got new earplugs here. All this stuff going on. Spencer fixed me up and I just dropped my earplug. Let me find it. And man. So look, if you tuned in, I mean, I know you tuned in. Look, you're going to want to stay with us, okay? It's going to be good. But just before I get rolling here, man, just some things I got to say. Let me try and find. Oh, by the way, my whole setup is different. Spencer came and redid everything. He redid everything. So if you're watching right now, and I said this in the pre-show, if you're distracted because when you're talking to me, I'm looking here, it's because your image is here. So if you're out there and you're talking, you say, well, he isn't even paying attention. Well, I'm looking at you. You're over here. Okay? So when I talk, I'm going to look here because it's my new camera. We'll look here. But when you talk, I'm going to look here. So don't think I'm not paying attention to you, okay? And then sometimes I'll be looking over here because I got another monitor over here with all my data and all that stuff is over here. Because I don't know about you guys, I hate it when people don't look at me. So I'm looking at you, okay? And Spencer set me up brand new. It's great, man. Great. New microphone, new keyboard, new headphones, new setup, new earphones. So thumbs up to those guys. So appreciate it, Spence, all you did over there. Now I'm looking over here again. Remember what I just told you? Over here is where I have all my data, all the stuff that's going to go on. And did I ever send that to you stuff? No, maybe I didn't send it to you, Spence. Hang on a second. Oh, what the heck, Coach? What are you doing? Shoot that to Spencer. All right, cool. Let me get started here real quick. And for those of you tuning in, say, I don't want to hear about this weekend. Well, I don't care if you want to or not. Let me say some things right up front that to me were really, really pretty amazing. Number one thing, I got some thanks here. So let me run. We couldn't have done what we did. It's amazing. We had probably, and I don't know, Gary could give us the final numbers. We had probably 80, I'm guessing, that showed up. And we had about 30 that showed up, signed up and didn't show up. Now, I don't know whether they're just kind and donated or not. I don't know what it was, but we had a good crowd. Without going too long, Gary and Debbie Pierce, I wrote some names. We'll run through some of these here in a second. Gary and Debbie Pierce. Gary covers all the stuff I screw up. And his wife, Debbie. Steve Deck's been here working and setting up and cleaning up and being Steve Deck. And Spencer came in a day early and redid all this kind of stuff and set up the PR part of it. And Chad, of course, and George McCloy and Mel and Betty and Rob Pugh come all the way down. And the food with Kent and Michelle was unbelievable. Folks, I'm telling you, the food we ate, you can't believe it. And we calculated, if Kent and Michelle are listening out there, we calculated it last night that the meal, unbelievable, great meals with a lot of food left over, cost right about $25 a person, which is what we charge. And if you would see the food that we fed people for $25, it's crazy. And so Kent and Michelle, others who send them financial support, some people just, well, we know we had an underwriter and that name's going to remain anonymous. Took a lot of pressure off of us for setting the thing up financially and running, and a lot of people made donations and we appreciate it. But the real star of the show is number five there. Can you pull that up, Spence? Nope. There it is. There's the star of the show. Gigi. And she, what that girl did behind the scenes, organizing, barking at me, pointing me in this direction and that direction. So not only is she pretty, but she's the most loving, caring, giving person I know. I'm just telling you, those of you who know Michelle, that's my wife. Those of you who know her, ain't nothing like her. And I just want to say publicly again, just to honor her, because she hadn't had a husband for about a week. As you can imagine, trying to get all this stuff set up and running and all that stuff. And she was checking me here and checking me there and doing this and doing that and cooking and boom. I'm just telling you. So as I tell her every day, I love you more than anything anybody could ever love somebody. And she's the most unassuming. She won't any credit. She doesn't want any attention. But I want you to know that here at Coach Dave, we're a team. Couldn't do what I do without. I couldn't do without it. She'll be mad at me because he even said this. And I'll thank all of you. I'm going to get it. Hang on a minute. Thank all of you for just for the financial support. Some folks who didn't even come sit some money in. And I think we made budget. I think we did okay. And people who came would have to admit that for their $20 meal ticket, they got 20 bucks worth, right? And so it's all good. It's all good. Okay, Coach. So let me do this real quick. And then I'll try to, again, folks, remember, I'm looking at this monitor. I'm looking at you, okay? If I'm looking at this monitor, I'm trying to direct my own shows here. So I always hate it when people don't look at you when you're talking to them. I'm looking at you, okay? I got it all right here. Spencer got me a brand new microphone, a brand new keyboard, updated everything. So we're in a sparkly new great studio this morning. Now, let me get back over here so I can see who's got those people there. Click. All right, now I'm feeling good. Okay, cool. Let me say this again before we get going. I was unbelievably surprised how far people came to be part of this. And at the same time, I don't know. I don't know the answer to it. Maybe you guys can help me. Excuse me. Very little local. I don't even know if people know we're alive here in Central Ohio. Everybody who came from a long way away. Now, there are some that came. You understand that, right? But more than I can even understand or explain, it's a national ministry. I cannot explain it. I'm not going to use names because I don't want to say, well, you know, he talked about it. You know, we had a couple that I didn't even know. Flew in from Texas. But people come from California. We had people come from Michigan. And people come from Georgia. I'm just overwhelmed. So the sacrifices that you folks made, I just appreciate, I'm humbled. Like, you mean to tell me they don't know who I am in Hebron, but they know who I am in Oshkosh, Wisconsin? I can't explain it. I would say this, for those of you who are listening out there, those of you listening, folks, I think it is so, this thing was so, Gary says 15 different states. Now listen, somebody out there, we will help you pick up the mantle. We need to do this regionally, quarterly. If Randy Lunsford, I'm just throwing Randy out there because he popped into my head. If Randy Lunsford said, Coach, I'm going to organize one regionally here in the Oklahoma area, let's do it. We'll get it underwritten and we'll make it happen. You say, Coach, look, I want to do one up here in New England. You get it going. Let's get it on the map. Let's get it on the calendar and let's make it happen. Because I'm going to open it up here for testimony. I'm going to tell you something. The fellowship was unbelievably rich. Unbelievably rich. I'm just telling you. Sometimes we would, you know, I try to make a schedule. I'm trying to make a schedule of what we're going to do. And sometimes I'd look around And I'm saying, I can't break up this conversation. There'd be a pocket of people over here and pocket of people over here and a pocket of people back there and just talking and getting to know each other and loving on one another. And it just, I said, Lord, we need this everywhere. We need this everywhere. So I'm really, really can't emphasize enough the importance of, I want to, maybe a steering committee. I hate steering committees. We got to take this show on the road, because the truth is, people in Ohio don't give a shit. I guess I don't know. pardon my language. But I know how impactful it was. And I'm going to open it up here for some testimonies. Meaning this, I want you to hear from the people. Daggone, Coach, this happened, and well, I met this person, I met this person. Because we're living in a time. Come on, folks. If you're watching this show, your friends think you're crazy. Your friends think you're crazy. And they kick you out of their church or left foot of fellowship here because they think you're crazy. I want you to know there are a lot of people who don't think you're crazy. A lot of them. And so the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, even more as we see that day approaching. We got to get together, friends. We got to get together. And it doesn't mean that you have to come to Columbus or outside of Columbus, Ohio, to make this happen. Why can't we do it in Dumont, Iowa, if there is such a place? Why can't we do it in California if there is such a place? Regional ones. I just think they're critical. I think our team is far larger than what we understand it to be. Okay, cool. Okay, and I'm gonna shut up a minute. And I just wanna show you some pictures, give you a rundown from pictures, and I'm gonna open it up and look. Some of you are gonna say, I don't want to hear about that. Okay, then go someplace else or go get a cup of coffee. But the Bible says that they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony. You got to tell somebody. And I'm not going to bring people in here to make you feel bad. I'm going to bring people in here to make you feel good as they tell you how getting together made them feel good. So at the center of what we did is we visited the mounds. Fritz Zimmerman came in, did wonderful couple presentations, just wonderful presentations, to showing us it wasn't always about the Nephilim. We came to understand that the mounds, just pull up any picture if you can there, Spence, that the mounds are you ready for this? There's a mound behind Fritz. I'm pointing over him, look at this screen over here right now. There's Chad in the middle. That's Fritz. So we took people to the mounds, and that's the mound behind us. And look, folks, they're portals. They're portals to the other world, whatever that would be. And these structures that are everywhere. See, we actually went on site. This is at what used to be the Mound Builders Country Club. But it's massive, this thing. And Fritz explained to everybody what it was that they were seeing. And I, you know, yeah, we talk about the giants and the giants being buried and yada, yada. But that really wasn't what it was about. It's about how the dark world is trying to reach down into where we are. That's me, in case you don't know, Fritz. And I interrupt for a living, so I was constantly interrupting. But he took us and explained us. So let's just run through these few of these pictures. So, and then I'm going to open up. Let's jump in there. Yes, by the way, I love this. Go back, Spencer. I can't tell you this weekend how many times people said, Coach Dave, your cross is upside down. Your flag's upside down. You guys see the flag on my hat? I leave it upside down on purpose because it's a sign of distress. America's in distress. So the flag on my hat is upside down, okay? So this is, I think maybe this picture is just right. Anyway, go next picture. We'll go through them real quickly. Coach Dave live up on top of the hill. Bob Evans pulls in, brings his big foot with him when he pulls in. Go ahead. That's the tent that we were under. Set it up out there at Sky High. Beautiful place. Thank God it rained a little bit, just enough to keep it cool. Didn't rain too much. Next one. That's Fritz giving us a lecture or talking to us. We set up a microphone, TV, all that stuff. And yeah, it's good. It's good. There's what it was. So Fritz is in front of us. We put up a little TV and he explained to us how it happened back and forth. Next one. There we are, spellbound at some of the information that he's provided to us. Go ahead. More people. Gary, wake up, Gary. Looks like Gary's asleep right there in the middle, obviously. Not really asleep. We had people come who I had never met, knew nothing about. It's awesome. There we are. This is that we're at the cemetery where this, where the one of the big mounds is. So some of the folks probably illegally climbed up on top of the mound and took a picture of these people standing in the middle of the cemetery, because this mound, I don't know if we get a picture of it, is right in the middle of a cemetery, right beside a church. Remember, Fritz says it is a portal. The question we would have to ask ourselves, if they put this right beside, in a cemetery, right beside a church, did the church know it was a portal? What the hell is that all about? It's an old church, by the way. Next one. Oh, there's Queen of the Hop right there. Man, oh man. I think we're still married. I think we are. Okay, so I could show you more and more, and the idea is not to make you feel bad that you missed it or anything like that. Or it's not that at all. It's to encourage you, man. Forsake not the assembling ourselves together even more as the day approaches. You see that day approach. Ray LeBlanc did Sunday morning gathering, and he made a presentation. Ray, I'm going to have you do that here on the show for people to understand. That was one of the most unbelievable things that I had no idea. And no, folks, I'm not going to tell you what it was, but Ray did Sunday morning service. Anything else? Boom, boom, boom. You know me. I'll talk more as we go. Open it up. Somebody come on testimony time. Tell, you know, something that you learned, something that you felt, somebody you met. Come on in. Come on. So I'll wait. Who's first in today? Dave Allison, Dave and Sherry. Listen, these poor folks, took them about 40 hours to get here because they had car trouble. They drove down, had to drive back home. They broke down again, had to drive back home. And still they made it. Come on in, Dave, Sherry. God bless you guys.
Yeah, good morning, everyone. Yeah, we had a great time. It was a good time of fellowship. There was just so many really, a lot of little things going on, but all together collectively is really a great time. Like you say, the food was fantastic. Kent and Michelle, they do an unbelievable job with the food and the coordination. Everybody putting Coach, you and Gary and everybody, Steve Deck, appreciated all the efforts you made. It was a great time of fellowship.
Amen. Amen. And again, hey, folks, there are more for us than there are against us. I'm just telling you. And, you know, again, the scripture says, somebody come on in here. Scripture says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. And I like to say this. When I was a kid, when my children were kids, we got them toys, put them under the tree, and then they rewrapped them so they didn't know what was in them. And then they got up Christmas morning and they opened the package. I would always get a heart attack because on the outside of the box, it said, some assembly required. Anybody else hate those words as much as I hate those words? Some assembly required. Now look, folks, understand this. When we opened up the box that Christmas morning, we opened up the box, all the parts were there. They were assembled, but they weren't assembled. They were gathered. So we had to open up the box and look at the instructions and put the toy together. Some assembly required. In other words, Christianity ain't a lone sport. It ain't a lone sport. There's some assembly that's required. The purpose of the assembling, the Bible says, to forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, even more as we see that day approaching. It's because we're going to need one another, man. We're going to need one another. And I don't know where you live, but you better find somebody around you that you can assemble with when the shit hits the fan, which, as we all know, it's all hitting the fan. And no, I'm not going to. If you think Lindsey Graham just died, I don't even know what the hell to tell you. If you believe that. If you believe Mitch McConnell was dead, now he's alive, and I don't even know what the hell to tell you. There's stuff going on. And you know this, and I know this, that when you start talking about this stuff, your friends think you're nuts. Somebody say amen. Your friends think you're nuts.
Amen.
And you're not. You're not nuts. And until we get together and assemble with like-minded people, we're not going to get that. That's why, again, why I said we got to start doing these things regionally. Or if you want to organize one and we're glad to come. Even more as we see the day approaching. Eileen Tesh, come on in, Eileen. Thank you, Eileen, and your husband for coming all the way down to be part of this event.
Absolutely. Thank you, Coach. A couple things. Number one, you'd be surprised when we got back home and I had an appointment with our campaign finance woman, and I told her where we were. And I've told a few people when we were going and then when we got back about the mounds, the Nephilim. They, for the most part, were intrigued.
Mm.
And when I, she even took a picture. I bought three of Fritz's books, and she took screenshots of the books. And,
wow.
And another woman said, I've heard about those. I've seen the documentary. So you'd be surprised. I think people are more afraid, afraid to speak out or ask questions. So that was number one. Number two, when we went to the last site, the Circle Mound, and Jim, my husband, went into the restroom area, I think it's the store also, but where the gentlemen that are there to give us
answers. To tell you the lies. Yeah, to tell you the lies.
Thank you. Jim was asking him questions about, you know, how is it that the Circle Mound is so lined up with the moon and the sun? And the guy said, oh, no, it has nothing to do with that.
Yep.
Oh, I'm like, oh my gosh. And then the third thing, that the United Nations is what bought that country club, that after 100 years for educational purposes.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Well, why do you think they bought that?
Well, Eileen, as we try to tell everybody, this whole Nephilim mound, all that stuff, folks, it proves that evolution is bunk.
Right.
That's why it proves the existence of a creator, whoever you might think that creator is. Eileen, ain't no Indians did that. It was a deer. Ain't no Indians did that.
And right.
They want to call it the Indian mounds, when in fact it's far, far, far deeper than that.
And one more question, Coach.
Sure.
How did Britt determine what research was there to show or confirm that these date back to approximately 800 BC.
Well, okay, but the first part of the question was what?
What was the research or the confirmation
Well, you get it out of Fritz's books for sure, but the reality, folks, I want you to stop a minute. I want you to think. Let me do me. I was born in 1952. Now, in my frame of mind, 1952, that's a long time ago, isn't it? Oh, that's 73 years. A long time ago. But Eileen, what did they say? 800 BC? 800 before Christ? Folks, shake your head a minute. How do we have real history from 800 BC other than some scientist shows up and looks at a rock and says, this is how old this rock is? And I always ask people this. Do you think God could have made a rock to make it look 600,000 years old? Do you think he could have? And so again, science is atheistic. It's atheistic. And I don't care who you are. If you were part of this weekend, you're scratching your head saying, geez, would everybody out there agree? Wow, I didn't know that. I didn't know that. 600 before Christ. Wow. So Eileen, thanks for coming down. Thanks for bringing your hubby. And how do we donate money to you, Eileen? Are you there?
Yes. Thank you, Coach. Tesh, T-E-S-C-H, for senate.com.
Let's get her in there, man. Tesh for senate.com. Put that in the chat.
Thank you.
Hey, she's putting it out there, man. She's answering the call. God bless you. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you for your good, for your coaching.
Yes, ma'am. God bless you. It's a good one. Amen. Claudine, let me get, I'll get you in a second. Claudine, I couldn't believe it, flew in from someplace over on the East Coast, Connecticut, no, New Hampshire. I think it's New Hampshire. She's an elected official. And some of the conversations we had with what's really going on in government was something. Claudine, come on in. And again, thanks for coming all that way. Folks, look, people came from everywhere. It's amazing. Go ahead, Claudine.
Morning, Coach. Good morning, everybody. I can't even find the right word this morning to describe just the wonderful time that I had meeting everybody, the fellowship, meeting great new friends. I feel so alive with this group now. It's not just listening, everybody's family. And I just thank you for all the work everybody put into it. I felt like I just showed up into a whole new family, and it was just wonderful. So,
Claudine, let me interrupt, because I do that for a living. You know that, right?
Yeah, of course.
Claudine, one of the testimonies that you gave is because of this group, you were inspired to get off of your arse and get involved, and you ran for public office.
You got that right. In 2020, Coach, we can always think, oh, I should just go in there and I would do that. But really, it was the people and you in this huddle that encouraged me to go for local position, selectman in town, and then eventually as a state rep, which was just amazing. Besides all the activist stuff that we did during COVID, I would have never done any of that. But it's the spirit through this show, all the people that encouraged me, shaking in my boots, I stepped out on the corners of the streets and cities all over the state. So I think you're right. There's a book here that needs to be read.
Amen.
So because we can all do this, we all have the power within us to do it.
Amen. And amen.
People in this huddle are going to help us do that, because you're right. Things are coming, and
it's we coming.
Unite here, but we also need to walk the lands where we live.
Amen, Claude. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. And folks, I have a guest I got to get on. Alan Carmen came. I've known Alan Vasquez. I've known them for Operation Save America days, 20 years. Casually known them. We would go to a rally, and they would be there, and I knew them. And their daughter married somebody. We have a history with them. And Carmen especially, because she and her friend went to the abortion clinic. Oh, I'm telling you, almost freaking daily. Up in the Connecticut area. And so they showed up. I didn't know they were, I mean, I love them both. I hadn't seen them in a while. They show up, and Carmen has been faithfully going to the abortion clinic for longer than I can tell you. And I said, Hey, Carmen, how many babies have you saved? Maybe. Are you sitting down? She says, well, Coach, as far as we can tell, 3,500. Let that sink in. 3,500 babies who grow up to be adults, who have babies, who grow up to be adults, who have babies. And they don't pat themselves on the back. They don't run around and they take the babies in. They go to the abortion clinic. The girl's going to kill the baby. They say, no, don't kill the baby. We have someone who will take the baby. Heroes like this all across America that we don't even know. And Alan Carmen, I didn't know they were coming. They showed up. Humbles me. 3,500. Saved babies that she knows of, faithfully being outside those clinics. That's something, isn't it? Huh? 3,500. Carmen, an hour in Missouri now. I think it's Missouri. out past St. Louis, still raising heaven out there. So I just want, I wanted to know, I got to get Carmen on, let her tell the story. It's unbelievable. And let me get Ray, I'm going to get you on a promise. Let me get JT in there. JT showed up. Who ever thought JT would be? JT was there, and he's a real person. He's a real man. He brought his wife with him. And come on in, JT. It's great to see you, brother.
Yeah, it was. I have to go on a week's fast just to get the food out of me. I mean, it's like it was all we were doing was eating. It was like, oh my That's god, right. And it was good. It was good fellowship. But I was thinking, you know, I was talking to the gang. Me and the wife were talking to the gang. I said, you really have a job to keep this brother straight. Oh, he said, yeah. And so we got talking about the grandkids, you know, and her heart for the grandkids. Yeah. And, you know, I'm kind of observing people, you know, and I'm saying now, we're in the next 3 years, 5 years, half of this group's going to be gone.
Mm. Well, that's true, brother.
You know, I said, so we got to get, I was telling the wife, we need a youth brigade.
Amen.
We need to bring our grandkids to an event and have our grandkids look forward to what we do when we come to these events for fellowship. It's really what it was. But, you know, so when we're gone, they pick up that mantle.
Psalm 78, Spencer, pull that up for me if you could. Psalm 78.
But it was good to meet you and the wife and Claudine and the brothers and sister Dave and Cherry, and just to get to know the voices. You know, I was there Friday and I didn't see Dave and Cherry. I was like, yeah, where's Dave and Cherry? You know, so but it was good. It was a good time of fellowship, and my wife enjoyed it.
And James, my wife's prettier in person than she is on the screen, isn't she?
I'm telling you, she's definitely good.
She's something.
That gal has a heart for her grandkids. Yeah, made you guys kind of hard to be because you're all there.
Yeah,
we're all there. Praise God. Shalom, brother.
Amen. Appreciate you coming, JT. Folks, I just pulled this up. This is important. Ray, I'm getting you in here in a second, I promise. Psalm 78. I don't got it on the screen there. It says, I shared this the other day. Folks, it's about the children. It's about the children. JT just said, was it JT? Yeah, just said, how many of us are going to be here in 20 years? How many of us are going to be here in 20 years? You say, well, coach, I'm only 55. Yeah, 75. Been there yet? 20 years, you're going to be. So, say you're 70, you're going to be here when you're 90. You're going to be any good when you're 90. We have to have an urgency. Have an urgency about what's going on. Again, we get trapped into end times. End time. We're not going to be here. Lindsey Graham ain't here. Give ear, O my people, to my law, and incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I'm going to open my mouth in a parable, and I'm going to utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known. Because our daddies told us. And then we're not going to hide it from our children. What? No, we're going to show the generation to come the praises of the Lord and what he did and his wonderful works. We're going to teach that to our kids. We're going to get them the hell out of public schools, or we're going to reclaim the public schools, and we're going to teach our children what the Lord did. For he established a testimony in Jacob, appointed a law in Israel. Scroll down, Spence. Wake up there. Which he commanded, Daddy, teach it to your kids, Daddy. Because if you don't, the generation to come ain't going to know it. But if you do teach it to them, even the children which should be born, they're going to arise. Alan Carmen, 3,500 children, and they're going to declare it to their children. It's called history, tradition, that they might learn to set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments and not be like their daddy, a stubborn and rebellious generation, the hippie generations of the 60s and the 70s, generation that didn't set their heart right and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. Because the children of Ephraim, they knew what the hell was all going on, and they were armed and they were carrying bows. But they turned back in the day of battle. They didn't keep the covenant. They didn't walk in his law. They forgot his works, his wonders that he had shown them. Because marvelous things did he in the sight of their daddies in the land of America. And we didn't even tell it to our kids. That's where we are. And the whole creation's groaning, waiting for us to show up. Come on, teach it to your children. Don't take them to Sunday school and have the kids go into children's church. They should be sitting there right beside mommy and daddy. Children's church ain't Jesus loves me, this I know. It goes a little bit beyond that. I'll shut up. I'll back up. Okay, Ray LeBlanc. Come on in, Ray.
Yeah, Coach, I just wanted to say it was great seeing Fritz Zimmerman in the presentation that he brought. Yeah. But you know what? I've been through in past years so many different conferences where dozens of speakers would get up one after another and give us their 15 and 20-minute spews. And we all sat there like little sheep listening. And we were that stick man today, Coach, over this weekend. You took that stick man with all that head knowledge and you put some meat and flesh and on those bones. And you filled up the skinny stick man by meaning this, by allowing the people to give their testimonies. Mm. It was just blown away by that. That was a great move on your part where I get to hear from Stephanie and Al and Carmen. I didn't know their story. Another couple came from Connecticut that adopted 7 children through OSA. I got to hear their story. I got to hear Mel explained a little bit more of her background and Stephanie there with a resident ex-witch. And, you know, it was great to have her there. What's that, Jane?
That Stephanie can pray for my sister.
Yeah, Stephanie, pray for, because of her talent and her knowledge into that dark realm.
Her understanding, yes, her understanding of it.
So Jane has a sister that she wanted her to pray for. And now, you know, now Stephanie's going to be praying for that. So, I mean, the body of Christ and the gifts that were out there were exposed because you allowed each person to have that time to give their testimony and through their testimony in the blood of the Lamb, that's how we overcame the world. And we did great things. It was just an awesome time to get to.
Ray did, folks, let me just pause here a second. I'm not patting anybody on the back here. I didn't even know who Ray LeBlanc was. And I had a little men's conference. Ray, you can straighten it out. Maybe, I don't know, 8 years ago. I don't even know.
Yeah, 8 years at least, yeah.
And Ray LeBlanc shows up in his little van, big van, old van, to this event. Think, what the heck? Who's this guy? So we ordained Ray. Yeah, we do ordination here. Yeah. Now, you don't have to have it. I'm sorry, you don't need a cemetery degree to be a minister. Okay, you don't need a cemetery approval to be a minister. And we anointed Ray and sent him off. Now he's Pastor Ray LeBlanc in Wisconsin. He's taken it, the anointing, run with it. And he made a presentation yesterday morning. In fact, Ray, I may have you get ready to do that on the show because it was pretty amazing. Ray, you just give us the overview of what you shared yesterday morning.
Oh,
hey, Ray,
okay.
Tell us the story, not the whole story, okay?
Right, yeah, I'll do the nutshell caption. But, yeah, in the book of Revelation, I've read a lot of times it talked about the 7 spirits of the Lord. And I always kind of wondered what they meant by the 7 spirits. I know that there's the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, but you know, it was an interesting topic to look into, and I did a little research, and you know, big scripture, that's our, the whole volume of the book, the scripture, is somewhere in there that's going to interpret what that meant. And I found going into Isaiah chapter 11 and Proverbs chapter 8, that it names the seven spirits that they're talking about. And it went from, you know, the fear of the Lord was a spirit, knowledge and wisdom and counsel, you know, so all of them are just listed there, and explains it a little bit more. And we think of wisdom as just a word or a definition of who we are, but it, you know, in Proverbs 8, it most says it's like a woman that wisdom was with him from the beginning of the foundations and stuff. So the whole Bible structure is so deep that it it's in layers. You can understand it as a child, the simple simplicity of it all. But if you want to dig deeper, you know, like Fritz Zimmerman was covering, there was giants in the land. And then thereafter, well, what do you want to know? I want to know more about it. Well, you want to know more about it? Then go to the Book of Enoch. Or is it not written here? Is it not written there? So, you know, that's where we're at with things. And you know, you can take in as much as you want or as much as you can handle. You can remain a kindergarten in your faith, or you can get a college degree. So
amen. Yeah, if you're still where you are when you got saved, there's something wrong. Ray, I like to use an illustration like this. If you came to me and said, hey coach, got any pop? You guys got any pop around here? Yeah. What kind do you want? Mountain Dew, Pepsi, Coke, Diet Coke, Diet Pepsi. What kind of one? Because there are different types, aren't there? Folks, they're different spirits. They're different spirits. They're not all the same. Oh my God, if our eyes could open up to it, if our eyes could open up and understand, that's what we try to do, man. We are so, I'll get off of it. Thanks, Ray. We're gonna do a feature on that. Okay, let me get Betty in here. Then Gary, go ahead, Betty.
Yeah. Good morning.
Betty just did something really good. Hang on, Betty. Click on your thing and let your face come on when you talk, if you want to. We're trying to keep up. Go ahead, Betty. Go ahead.
Well, I just want to say what a great weekend, amazing weekend, and thanks for having it. You know, Coach, you did a great job along with all the people that helped you. Mm-hmm. But I just want to say what an inspiration and how encouraging it is to be with the brothers and sisters I already knew, but meeting new ones like Claudine and Steve, you know, I tell you what, they uplifted me. I was like an energized bunny whose battery was going dead when I went there. Yeah. And I got re-energized. So from like Christy, when we talked Friday night in the rooms, you know, and then me and Mel and Christy went out for breakfast, and Saturday night we all sat there telling our testimonies and hearing the stories and lives of these people, and just being there, knowing that these people are supporting you, backing, you know.
Amen.
You know, I just can't tell you, and I'm so happy that you only had one speaker, because we were able to have that fellowship, which is a memory now in my heart, in my mind. So I just want to thank everybody. I just loved everybody. It was just wonderful. Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Betty. Thank you for all you do. And you know, folks, you get people like that. Somebody said earlier, you go to conferences and it's speaker after speaker after speaker after speaker. So when I'm putting this together, and Gary and I are putting this thing together, I'm trying to figure out speakers, how much time, and we make a schedule, right? Because you don't know how it's going to go. You don't know how it's going to go. And I can't tell you the number of times I'd say, Gary, maybe is it time? Do we need to do this now? And he'd say, look around, let it go. They're fellowshipping. They're enjoying it. Stop it. Let it go. Because we're so program oriented, we got to get this speaker in and that speaker in, and it was good. The speakers came, but people, they just want to sit and talk and fellowship and see like-minded people and share with one another. That's why I think the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. even more as we see that day approaching, we got to get together with like-minded people, which is what we try to do here every morning. Gary, come on in, man. Thanks again.
That's Gary, amazing.
Gary kept it running, man.
What you just spoke about and what Betty mentioned was Fritz's presentation. I had spoken to him on the phone a couple of times before he got there and talking about his presentation. And he says, you know, I'm putting slides together and I've been working on this thing for a day or so. And it's only going to be 20 minutes long. Okay. I'm just going to be real brief and specific. And then he gets up there and he starts talking. And then there's a question. Then there's another question. And before you know it, it's an hour and 20 minutes. He's sharing, people are asking questions, and they, just like you said, they were captivated by the topic, and everybody stayed tight. And then, you know, afterwards we broke for lunch, and then we were going to go for the tour in Saturday afternoon. And you know, there were people milling around saying, "No, I'm not going to go. I'm not going to go." And then all of a sudden, when you all started to head out, Michelle and I and Debbie stayed back, David Arthur, and we looked around and said, everybody else is gone. They all went. It was amazing. So Debbie and I got on in the car and we hit the second place, and it was amazing. So yeah, it just expanded like crazy, and the topic was amazing. So
thank you for all that. Gary, because folks, I go to some of these conferences, right? Sometimes I get a chance to speak at those conferences. And you know what always grieves my heart when I'm there is because it's always speaker after speaker after speaker after speaker after speaker. There's never any fellowship time. And you can go to one of these conferences and you can pay whatever you have to pay and you can be there all weekend and you won't have met anybody else. And when you go home, you heard the speakers, but you didn't meet anybody. You didn't fellowship with anybody. And so fellowship was and is, in my mind, the number one reason we do it. To forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. That there will be, probably are now, lifelong friendships that were made. Like-minded people that agree the same thing. I was looking at George and all of a sudden he disappeared off the screen. If you want to try to get back, go. All right, George, come on in here, George.
Hi, Coach. Thank you so much. I'm sorry, I was wore out from all of it, but I wanted to
say, I wonder why you never freaking quit talking. That'd be why.
Yeah, go ahead. No, I'm okay. But the truth of the matter is this, Chris pointed this out, and I'm so thankful for the fellowship. I just can't even thank you and not thank everybody. I'm just so thankful for it. But I want to say this, those serpent things that we were at, that they had a big, huge circle with two heads of the serpents on both sides going through the gate at the top of it. Mm-hmm. And this is the thing. We had all of the men and women of God there. And what we did was, behold, I give power unto you to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall anybody means hurt you. Yeah, that's right. We spoke the word of God over there, over it. And I'm just so thankful to meet everybody that I didn't know before and to be around everybody. I thank you so much, Coach. Thank you.
Thanks. It's about encouraging one another, folks.
Yeah, and we spoke the word of God over that, the spiritual wickedness in high places, and I just want to be thankful I was a part. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Folks, I say this often. James, your hand is still up. If you want to come in, I'll get to you. If not, I didn't know if you just left it up. Folks, look. The spirit realm is more real than the natural realm. It's more real. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was void and without form. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. God said, let there be light. So the creation story begins. And it was all supernatural. Yeah, he made Adam. And yeah, we all know that Bible story. But I said something. Let me share this with you. I just made a little presentation. Well, it wasn't a presentation. It was like this, and I was introducing them. And then all of a sudden, the Spirit hit me, and I said, yes, folks, do you understand this? Are you looking at me? Christianity 101, although maybe it's 202. Look, we're created in the image of God. Got it? We're created in the image image, structure, form. And if we don't understand what I'm about to share, you're not going to get it. But if you do, then more revelation is going to come to you. Revelation is revealing. You get this. Oh, now I get this. Oh, now I get. That's revelation. That's revelation. Oh, I didn't get that before. Now I understand. Oh, that's revelation. It's revelation. Okay. So listen, God formed man out of the dust of the earth, breathed in him the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Is that in Genesis? Can somebody find that for me real quickly in Genesis? I want you to know, Genesis, the beginning, God formed man out of the dust of the earth, body. There we go. And God made all that stuff, and then God said, let us make man in our, what are you talking about, Willis? Let's make God in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the earth, over all the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In his image of God created he him, male, female, he created them. Okay, now hang on. So, God formed man out of the dust of the earth, the body. The body is the container. Come on now. This is a pattern. God formed man out of the dust of the earth. And then what did he do? He created the shell, and then he went to that shell, and he breathed into that shell the breath of life, Holy Spirit. That mud thing comes alive. God breathed into man the dust of the earth. I'm sorry, created his own image, breathed in the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Pardon me. The hell is a soul? We got the body. We got the breath of life, which is like plugging it in. It's got a soul. God made man out of dust of the earth, connected him electronically, and then breathed into him the breath of life, and then man became a living soul. And your soul is made up of your mind, your will, and your emotions. It's who you are, individually, who you are. We all got a body. We all got breath. But you are a living soul with a mind and a will and emotions. And the Spirit of God, when you get born, you now have life, you're plugged in, but when you get born again, you get an upgrade. You get an upgrade from just being plugged in light socket. You get plugged into this new power. You're now born again. And your soul's your mind, your will, and your emotions is who you are. And when you die, remember then, remember, man, you are dust. And to dust you shall return. And that old body of mine, working hard, trying to keep it functioning, at some point, this thing goes back to dust. And the breath, Bible says, the breath of life. God breathed it into each and every one of us. That breath, that life returns to him. It's in the scripture. I don't have it in front of me. What about the soul? About the soul. The soul is the eternal part of you that is going to live forever somewhere. Mind, will, and emotion, personality. It's who you are. And whether you believe it or not, the Bible tells us that that guy, that soul, that mind, that will, and that emotions, when you come out of that body, at some point where there is no time, we don't understand that, you're going to stand before the judge. The Bible says the book's going to be opened. What's in those books? Everything the soul man did, the mind, the will, and the emotions. It's all written down in that book. And God who created you is now going to judge you, going to judge that soul man, that mind, that will, and emotion, who is still, even though the body's dead, and even though the spirit has returned to God, that soul man is still very much alive. And you're going to stand before the Lord. And you're going to give an account for all that stuff you did. You're going to, it says the books are opened. There's a book and then another book's opened. Your soul, you're standing in it. Huh? All right, Coach Dave. I was looking here on March 28th of 1958. You did this and on TV. It's all in the books. All in the books. And he says, what you got to say for yourself, Coach? And I say, I'm sorry. Well, the Lord says, that's okay, but sorry don't cut it here. Because the wages of sin, which you're a sinner and you know it, wages of sin's death. You sin? Somebody's got to die. It's a wage. And the Lord knew that nobody could pay that wage. They were on spiritual welfare. They couldn't pay it. And God saw it, said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to send my boy. Body, spirit, soul. I'm going to send my boy down there, and he's going to live a perfect life. Because, see, I can't die for you because I'm a sinner. I got to pay for my own sins. You can go to church, and the pastor can give you absolution, whatever that's called. The priest can lay hands. That's okay. The Bible says that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Price. And so God sent his son. Huh? What? Yeah. Flesh, spirit, saw the same, made in the likeness of us. Sent him, lived the perfect life. And so at the great white throne judgment, when the son had been beaten and scourged and all that stuff, at the great white throne judgment, when the books are open, and there's George McCloy standing before the Lord, and the books are open. George, your turn, George. Next in court, George. They open it up. Look at all that crap George McCloy did. And God's going to say, why the heck should I let you in, George? And what's George? Well, I'm sorry. I didn't know. Well, that's okay, but there's a wage you got to pay, George. I mean, I'd like to forgive you, but there's a wage. And he said, well, Jesus paid my wage. Jesus paid for me. He paid my wage. Really? And the Lord says, wow, come on down. You're the next contestant. See, it ain't anything you did, because everything you did, taking you to the wrong spot. Because of what he did. Well, what was that video we showed today? The other day, the man on the middle cross said I could come. That's Christianity 101, man. You're a sinner. The wages of sin is death, and Jesus paid the price, but you got to get on the reservation list. All this religious rigmarole that we deal with, Jesus said, you guys, you heap up commandments, doctrines of men, making the word of God of none effect. We think we can be nice and earn our way into heaven by being good people, and all have sinned and fallen short of the glory. And who knows how the heck we got here. 800,000 years ago. Who knows? Who knows? All I know is right here, right now, Christ stands at the door and he knocks. He wants to forgive you. He brings the papers that are going to set you free. But you got to sign on the document. Receive Christ's sacrifice. Become a new man in Christ. Wow. See you tomorrow.